Some days, it seems like everyone just wants more. But what if you're a giver? What if you want to give open-heartedly, selflessly, to give a true gift? Social anthropologist David Graeber says that might not be possible. Steve Paulson spoke with him.
Why is the culture of gift-giving so complicated?
Well, because we define gift so broadly. A gift is simply anything that you give to someone where you're not demanding anything in return. It doesn't mean you're not even expecting something, but there's no explicit contractual demand that you'll get something back. If someone asks you for a cigarette or a light, for that matter, or if you present tribute to a feudal lord or, you know, something to impress a superior in our own culture, those are completely different things, but we just lump them together as gifts.
There has been a rich anthropological tradition of studying gift giving, and I know one of the pioneers in this investigation was Marcel Mauss, who wondered whether there really ever is such a thing as a true gift, a gift given with no self-interest whatsoever. Is there any evidence that a true gift is possible?
Well, sure. I mean, it all depends on how you define it. If someone is begging on the street and you give them some money, you can create a story whereby you're getting something out of it. But really, you don't expect anything in return. What Mauss was really getting at is not so much that there is no such thing as a free gift, but the very idea that there could be such a thing as a free gift seems to be this kind of strange mirror of the market. Because if you don't have a system where you say, all right, we have this place where everybody's simply trying to get as much stuff as possible for themselves and not thinking about anyone else, then it's almost impossible to imagine the opposite. And in fact, historically, that's exactly what you get. Where you get the invention of coinage and markets, you get the invention of world religions at exactly the same times and places where people start talking about charity and free gifts. But you can't have one without the other.
So the whole culture of gift-giving changes totally once money enters into the picture?
I think that's what Mauss was really trying to get at. The question isn't, can you give a pure gift? The question is, why would we even imagine that it would be either possible or desirable to do so? One of the classic examples from a Danish writer named Peter Freuchen, who lived amongst Inuit in Greenland for a while. People there had this terrible aversion to saying thank you. You know, he'd go on a hunt, he wouldn't get anything, someone else would. Guy would show up with a ton of walrus meat or some present like that. And he said, oh, thank you so much. And he said, don't say that. You know, if you're saying thank you, it's like, you know, you're saying you owe me something. And that's wrong because we're humans. And humans, well, we help each other out. We say here, gifts make slaves like whips make dogs. So if you say thank you, you're saying it's a gift and I owe you, so that's bad. What we do is we share. If you live in a society where you don't have impersonal markets, that's what you find. You know, you give somebody something, but you might be doing it to help them. You might be doing it to get them in your debt in some way. You might be doing it because you hate them and you want to humiliate them by being more generous and showing up that they need the help. There's a million different motives, and you can't boil it down to, you know, simple greed or simple selflessness.
So there are social norms as to how a gift is to be given, and those vary from culture to culture. And I suppose we have to distinguish between those cultures where currency is used and those, well, very few cultures these days where there is no currency, but maybe we have to look back historically at this.
Yes. It's not so much that there's completely different mindsets in different cultures. Actually, everything exists simultaneously. Communism isn't some imaginary society, or communism is just one way of people interacting in all societies. The same can be said of exchange, the same can be said of patronage. All these different ways of giving gifts or making exchanges always exist. So the question is how they come together, which are favored, and most of all, which we fix on when we try to imagine what people are really like.
Well, and I'm trying to get at why this whole culture of gift giving changes so dramatically once money enters the picture. And I mean, I suppose part of it is that now it's possible to make an exchange strictly on the basis of financial considerations. I mean, somehow are you moving the human interaction out of the picture? But then to some degree, you never are, I suppose.
Precisely. That's what Mauss was really getting at. He's saying the real difference between gifts is not that one is calculating and gifts are disinterested. That's just the way it looks from the perspective of someone used to market exchange. There's other extremes where gifts are a way of humiliating someone. They actually are intentionally trying to turn people into slaves. Classic example here is the potlatch, where Native American chiefs, people who acceded to major noble titles, would throw these giant feasts where they just shower their enemies with presents while mocking them. People would receive them, take them home, and then throw another party and sort of mock their enemies, including the guy who had just given them the gift. So gifts were literally a way of belittling others.
So so what comes with a gift is an obligation that you are to give something in return.
An obligation that you'll give someone something in return, or recognition that you're inferior. So very often, it's quite intense, the feelings that can be raised by someone giving a gift that cannot be paid back. Another story I like to tell, well, there's two. One's actually from Mos. He found it in a Greek author named Posidonius about Celtic nobles. They would have these contests and they'd duel and they'd try to outdo each other in games of various sorts. But one of the games was to try to give each other gifts of various glorious types that the other couldn't repay. And if you get into a situation of complete checkmate, someone gives you something so great that you couldn't possibly ever answer their gift, the only really honorable thing to do would be to commit suicide, and then your wealth is distributed to your flunkies.
Now, is that just a sort of a literary example, or is there some reality behind that story?
Who knows? I imagine it might have happened once or twice. But here's another, the other side of the same thing. In one of the Icelandic sagas, there's this wonderful story about these two Vikings named Einar and Egil, and they like to write poems together. One day, Egil shows up with a beautiful shield that he's gotten on a raid, something no one's ever seen before. His friend isn't there, so he leaves it as a present, rides off. The guy shows up about 12 hours later and sees this shield hanging there and says, "My God, what's this?" And they says, "Oh, yeah, your friend Egil left it for you. It's a present." And he takes one look at it and says, "Aha, so this guy thinks that I'm going to spend all night writing a poem celebrating his generosity. The hell of it, I'll kill him." So he gets on the horse, rides off, tries to catch up with him, but fortunately the guy has a lead. So at the end of the day, he gives up, goes home, and writes a poem about how great a guy that Einar is.
So there's all, I mean, so implicit within this is there's the one-upsmanship of gift giving, and we've probably experienced that at one point or another in our own lives.
Right. You feel that somehow you're less of a person if you can't respond with something at least as good and probably just a little bit better. And this is one of the things that Mos was fascinated with because, as he pointed out, it's not something that only occurs in the ancient world. It affects all of us. Even though our theories about how the world works tells us it shouldn't really be true. So if you take a free market economist out to dinner, he's going to feel that he really has to do the same to you, even though his theory says he should think, well, gee, I got something for nothing. Great. Why do you have that feeling?
But those expectations seem to vary so much from culture to culture. Is there something freeing about this? You know, let's do away with kind of this elaborate system of social obligations. You know, let's just make this a financial transaction.
Well, it can be. I mean, anyone who grows up in a traditional society knows that it's a little oppressive to constantly have to think about what your neighbors think of you. On the other hand, there's the upside, which is that you'll always have food. The problem with market relations is that there's winners and losers, and the losers can be in very bad shape. So that in most what they call gift economies, phrase that Marcel Mauss invented, there's a kind of bottom line where it's not even a question of exchange. Some things you just share. We need to recognize that that's always the case. The basis of human sociality, if you're not an enemy, on a certain level, everybody's going to be a communist with one another. And the sense of, you know, if the need is great enough, like I'm drowning, or if the cost is small enough, like do you have a light? Well, it's expected that if you have a need and they have an ability, they'll help you out. What we've done is we've driven that baseline sociability to an incredibly minimal level. So I think that one thing we can learn from gift economies, we need to ratchet that up a little bit.
Now, you have been involved quite recently with the Occupy Wall Street movement, and I know you've participated in other direct actions against various global economic forums. Does this question of gift giving play a role in this whole issue as we see the problems with the global monetary and economic system?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's significant, I've written about this, that one of the first things that people do in pretty much any occupation, you know, first they establish a place to sleep, but the next thing they do is they create a library. could we start from the idea of the library and come up with a totally different model of how goods and services could circulate? And I think people are playing around with that. I know there's working groups in New York trying to imagine a new alternative form of currency which would be inspired by the idea of the gift.
That was anthropologist David Graeber talking with Steve Paulson. His latest book is called Debt, The First 5,000 Years.